When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome, gentlefolk, to the moment you've all been waiting for.
The season one finale of Unfeatured Articles.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the season one finale of Unfeatured Articles.
Woo-hoo.
Yay!
We made it, boys.
I know, we made it.
That's
we
made wild.
It, and it's wild.
How for did the, we do that?
It's a good question. For the last time this season, I'm Curtis Lang, and with me, as always, are my delightful co-host, Mr. James Keogh.
That's me.
And Mr. Riley McNamara.
That's me.
How are we, boys? How are we feeling?
Good. I'm feeling ready. I'm feeling like energized.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
I'm
I'm nervous.
I feel good. I feel really good.
I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have articles.
We don't have
we kind of came into the studio. We're like, all right, you guys. We don't have any articles, actually.
That's the point.
We've got 32 articles is what we have.
We've got 32. Yeah. We're going to decide the big boy number one.
Yes.
What was the name you were bandying around? The Unfi?
The Unfi?
The Unfi Award for the best article of season award?
It was the first thing that came to my head.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know how it'll stick.
I rate it. No, Unfi. We're doing it.
What about the UFA?
The UFA?
The UFA?
The UFA.
Yeah, because that's our the UFA.
UFA.
That sounds like fucking... The Fusa from Madagascar.
The Fusa Nakami. No, I rate Unfi.
Unfi.
Let's do Unfi.
The Unfi.
Indeed. Well, to you, our dear listeners, thank you so much for coming back for this big finale episode.
Yes.
If you just join us for the first time, what are you doing?
Yeah, maybe.
What are you doing? We try and make each episode kind of like entry level for anyone, but if you...
This one doesn't really work like that.
Yeah, I think you might need to go back and listen to at least a couple of the other ones before you jump straight into this one. Because what are we doing, boys?
Well, we have, as we said, 32 fantastic articles, which we have cherry-picked from the episodes prior.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to be doing is we're going to chuck them into a bracket.
Live on air.
Live on air. And one by one, in pairings, we are going to kind of get that down to the number one article. So our first kind of 16 pairings. Are just,
first beginnings of the bracket, yeah.
Yeah, they're just kind of be overviews of those articles and kind of a rapid fire. What do we think? What's our gut say?
Which one do we prefer? Which one do we think is the best? Which one do we like the most? Which one do we think is the most unfeatured?
Mm.
Which one elicited the most visceral response on one of the episodes or something?
few criteria.
Few criteria, yeah.
And throughout that and throughout the rest of the show, we're going to be hearing from a few of our guests as well who are chiming in.
Yeah, lovely guests are coming back.
Yeah, they're going to tell us their favorite article apart from their own of season one. And so, boys. Shall we get into it?
Let's get this bracket going. This is a momentous occasion.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, all right. James has got the bracket randomizer on his laptop.
There is a button in front of me that says generate it.
All right.
Here we go.
3, 2, 1.
Generate it.
Generating.
It's loading.
It's still loading.
All right.
We're loading.
All right, here we go. Oh, and straight away. Okay, this is a good listing. All right. I'm loving it. Should we just dive in?
I think we should just... Well, do you want to do a quick rundown of
everything?
Everything?
Or should we just play it by ear?
I think so. Yeah,
right, let's go.
You think we would have thought of that about this before, but we're too excited.
So much nervous energy.
All right, so first one, what are our first two, James?
This one's, it's so interesting that it's done this way because this is hummus versus ferret legging.
No!
Oh, yep.
Yep.
The bookends. This is the James Kehoe bookend.
Is this all like this?
They're all like different. They're all randomly scattered.
Wow, okay. But so is this your first article and your last article?
Just so happens that these are the first two.
Well, his two first articles, really.
Yes, true. Mm. Feral legging was a special case. James, do you want to give us a really quick rundown of the two articles?
Sure. So hummus, I picked hummus in the first episode, and the reason I did that was because of the hummus wars, so-called because it was this big kind of debate over the origin of hummus, where hummus came from, and the largest amount of hummus.
Was it between Israel and Lebanon?
I think Israel and Lebanon
were the two countries that were like, no, the origins of hummus. Began here. Happened here.
In any sense, it was quite a cause of contention. And I thought it was quite amusing.
I love chatting about hummus.
It was a good
hummus
chat.
Hummus chat and business chat.
Good. Brings back memories. And then ferret legging. Ferret legging is a sport in which people put ferrets down their pants and keep them there. It's an endurance match where they have to hold ferrets in their pants for as long as they can.
Poor ferrets.
And what was old mate's record? It was like six hours or something.
Yeah, something ridiculous. And he tried to beat it, and everyone got bored.
He's like, no, stay, please. So, all right.
Of those two,
what's our gut reaction, boys? You, Riley, start us off, mate.
Hummus. It was my first foray into this. I know you boys had the ferret legging episode. Mm, you had the trial episode, but the hummus chat was my first foray, and fuck, it was funny.
Yeah,
it was a good time. So,
it really set the tone for the rest of the season.
It really did.
Which is why I'm also going to have to go hummus. I think
I'm going
to
say hummus too.
We've got a three-way tie for hummus. So
it's not really a tie.
First number. Sorry, ferret legging. We loved you while you're around, but alas, you did not get a rose.
Fuck.
All right. Moving
into
on.
The bracket. Next up, we have. Ooh, interesting. Okay, we have the Zim Wars versus the Icelandic Penis Museum.
All righty. Okay, Jamie. All right, I'll talk about the Icelandic Penis Museum.
Yeah, go for it.
So the Icelandic Penis Museum is, funnily enough, a penis museum in Iceland. It's just started by this old professor. who like just had a collection of a bunch of different animal penises from all over the Kingdom of Animalia, and he even had a couple of, I think, really old human penises.
Yeah,
but he wanted to get like a
fresh one.
He was looking
for donors. That's right.
Yeah, there was an actor who was known
for his big dick.
He's known for his big dick, and who was like, yeah, when I die, I want to donate my schlong.
Yeah,
I'm pulling it up. Who is he? Human penis. That's not his name.
But. Human penis. Did you just Google human penis? That's probably not going to elicit the results.
It was in images. So no.
It was actually the Icelandic Phallological Museum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonah Falcon. What a name.
What a name. That's big dick energy right there.
God, isn't it?
And then the Zim Wars. The Zim Wars was our Star Wars episode. And I chose Zim Wars. And it was this big kind of war with the Hutts and the Jedi, I believe.
The Hutts are the Jabba the Hutt, obviously, is the big slimy creature that even if you haven't seen Star Wars, you know
the big slug thing.
Yeah. It's the big slug thing. And that war was the war that kind of was the reason for the big pod race that we have in episode one. And it's this massive war that happened thousands and thousands of years ago that is this kind of tiny detail in episode one. And that's why
so much backstory for this one little thing. Yeah.
So that's why I chose the Zim Wars. Boys, how are we feeling it?
All right. Well, again, sorry, Riley, you got to start this one off because this is
we are
allowed to vote for our own.
Yeah.
This time,
I think this one's hard. This one's hard because in terms of the criteria, like Phallological Museum. Hilarious, provided lots and lots of laughs.
Yeah.
Zim Wars is about as unfeatured as it gets, I think.
Well, true. It is Wikipedia. Might not be unfeatured on Wikipedia.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Very
to the common consciousness,
bit.
You know. It's
fair enough.
Not,
what are you boys feeling? What are you boys
feeling? I'm leaning towards Icelandic Penis Museum.
Yeah?
I am too.
Mm.
And yes, while we are allowed to vote for ourselves, a gentleman's agreement.
This one makes sense.
I think for us, we're shedding our pride. This is about the
honor of the best article.
Yeah,
we
exactly,
need to find it.
Exactly.
So, I think I do have to lean towards the Schlong Museum.
Yep,
yeah,
same.
All right, so
let's lock it in.
All right,
lock that in. Is that how you're feeling, Riles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
I liked them both. I would have been happy.
Yeah, I think they were both really good articles.
Yeah.
killing our babies.
I've just found the picture of the dude standing in front of all the dicks.
Oh, yeah, the old Icelandic professor.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we'll be able to get into that later. We'll get more depth into those dicks later. That is a man. Oof, that is a man who owns a penis museum for sure.
You can see it behind his eyes.
Shall we move on?
Let's go. What's next?
Here we go. The Wizard of New Zealand versus echidna penises.
Oh, so that was Liz Kehoe's article?
The Kehoe face-off.
The brother against sister. So Wizard of New Zealand, he is a man who lives in New Zealand, who is a wizard, essentially. Kind of does what he says on the tin. And he was a professor who, I think, I'm trying to remember.
He was a professor in Australia who was then kind of like picked up by a university. He retired to New Zealand or something.
He wanted to start a movement at a university, I believe, in Australia.
It was like peace, love and happiness thing.
And so to kind of bend the rules a bit, he said, oh, I'm actually a wizard. I'm the official wizard of this university. And they sort of, people got around that and it became this kind of big cultural thing.
Yeah.
And then echidna penises, they have prongs.
They have a four-pronged penis.
They have a four-pronged penis.
And I think that's all you need to know about that one.
That's
and
pretty much basically
we had good chats
it.
About.
Not to do an injustice.
Echidna babies are called puggles.
That's right.
They're called puggles.
That's pretty frigging cool.
I don't mean to, you know, undermine my sister here, but I think that I would go for Wizard of New Zealand.
Yeah. I have to go for echidna dicks.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. That is my feeling. I really enjoyed that one.
Nah, it's Gandalf IRL.
All right, fair enough. All right, so sorry, Liz, but we are leaving echidna penises by the wayside and moving forward with the Wizard of New Zealand.
Wizard. Okay.
Bracket number four.
Here we go.
We're flying through these.
Yeah, this is great.
This is going to be a 3-minute episode.
Yeah.
Oh, he's just having a sip. He's having a big
one.
Such a bad timing sip.
We have Big Bertha.
Oh, yes, the Irish cow.
And toilet paper.
Oh, okay, these are both of mine.
Both of yours.
Curtis v. Curtis.
Give us a quick
I'm upset
overview.
That I haven't made the first eight.
Yeah. Wow.
The next, like, 10 are just going to be Riley.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so Big Bertha was a cow in Ireland who was the, this was for our St. Irish Patrick's episode. Day special. Yeah. Yeah. Which I think a lot of people unfortunately weren't able to listen to because there was a problem with iTunes.
Yeah.
And that it listed as like an unknown season and there was some problem. But regardless.
If you get the chance, go back.
Try and have a listen on Stitcher or Google Play or whatever.
Yeah.
But she was the oldest lived cow of all time. And she went around to a bunch of shows and she just she was just a lovely, lovely, lovely moo cow. And
yeah.
I loved her.
Lovely moo cow.
And her name was Bertha, Bertha.
Yeah, Big Bertha.
And she sired like 47 calves or something insane.
No way.
Yeah.
Woof.
And then what was the other one?
Toilet paper.
Toilet paper. So this was the toilet paper
debate.
Toilet paper orientation was a big Wikipedia article about the way in which people orientate their toilet paper and how the bit that you pull on falls. So either it goes over the front and forward or over the back and under.
Yeah.
And what did we decide? Because I didn't have a big opinion on this one, but you guys felt very strongly.
It's the front. Goes to the front.
Yeah, it's the front.
Yeah. I think I said, but if you had a cat, it would like, that's easy to
claw
at.
That's right. Yeah.
So
that's
I got
a very weird, like you can shut the door.
Yeah.
True. But I like to have my cat watch me poop.
Same.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are we? But
to be fair, on the toilet paper one, we did get really deep into like, how we wipe as well. It was
it was very
and there was
specific
the whole sitting
and like,
v standing argument.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, we recorded that episode with Liz Kehoe in the room, so that was just
that's right.
Yeah, that was a great episode.
That was a good episode. So, what do we think?
I'm gonna go toilet paper.
It's poop paper.
I think it's toilet paper.
Yeah, cool.
Yep. All right. Bye,
Zane?
Big Bertha.
Comments, questions.
Zane's a nod from Zane in the corner there. He's enjoying the poop paper debate. All right. So,
how could you not?
Absolutely. And we're moving on real quick to bracket number five.
Should we throw to some guests?
No, we're going to do that after number eight. We're doing eight first, remember?
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
As a per our discussion off air, Riley.
Yeah, all right. I've good and fucked it, haven't I?
All right.
I was like, well, that was eight articles.
do we want to cut that?
No, that's fine. Fuck
all right, let's keep going. All right. So bracket number five, we have the Principality of the Hutt River.
Yes.
And, this is interesting, the Gay and Lesbian Kingdom.
Wow.
Yeah.
This This is a very self-aware fucking bracket,
right?
Isn't it?
How did
Micronation
it
fucking... Yeah, face
the
off.
War of
all
the
right. Micronations. Well, these were, again, both mine. Sorry, Riley.
It's fine.
So, the Principality of the Hutt River was is in lower Western Australia and is a self-proclaimed independent principality that is not part of Australia and is its own sovereign nation, ruled over by Prince Leonard. Well, actually, no, it was started by Prince Leonard. I think his son rules now. I can't remember his son's name at the moment. We'll get into that later. And then the gay and lesbian kingdom of the Coral Sea was the Coral Islands off the coast of Queensland. And they, a bunch of people moved over there and began a commune of LGBTQI people. And to protest the Australia's kind of anti-gay marriage stance at the time. And then it was disbanded when last year the plebiscite came through with a yes to gay marriage vote, which also yay to.
There you go. Two
big boys.
Two micronations
together. Just for the memes. And because it was like, it was probably the first unfeatured article I got into like years ago. This was like it was like the first time I ever did like a deep dive on Wikipedia and I just found like weird articles. This was like my favorite. Principality of the Hutt River has got to get it for me.
I think so. I think like between the two of them, I love the idea of like the gay and lesbian kingdom being this big protest, but like a guy just fucking doing it. Just for fun. Just
for funsies,
like, I'm going to have my own nation.
Well, I think he was angry about like wheat tax or something.
Oh, right.
It was a tax write-off. So
still,
he's just like, fuck it.
But like that to be his response himself.
Some people have a business as a tax write-off. This guy's like, no, I've got a country.
I've got a country,
How about you, Ross?
Yeah.
Hutt River. All right.
Hutt River.
We salute you, members of the gay and lesbian kingdom of the Coral Sea. But for now, we're moving on with the Principality.
Okie dokie. So up next, we
bracket
have
number six.
Bracket number six, and it is the Emu War versus unusual eBay listings.
Who had those?
Gina. That was Gina.
That was Gina
and
Schwartz.
Sam had Emu Wars?
No.
Oh, you had he had the Gombe War.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Too many wars.
Too many wars.
Yes. All right,
wow.
So
again, we're just I'm like, where's Riley's article?
Yeah,
like,
right. It's all right.
They're going to be later. They're going
to
be later.
Just hang on, ladies and gents.
Best
we'll get to the good
last.
Stuff later on.
Emu War. This was, of course, a war against emus. It was essentially, there was this big kind of overpopulation of emus, and they sent out some people here in Australia to get rid of them, and they lost.
And we lost.
And they lost quite badly.
The army,
the Australian army lost against some emus. And then unusual eBay listings Gina brought to us. It was all about ghosts and possessed dolls.
She went on a massive tangent with this, remember?
Oh, okay.
Because this is just a list of unusual eBay listings, like a piece of Nutrigrain that looked like...
I've got it here, So there's buildings and land. So there was the first town sold on eBay.
Yeah,
It's been up for sale three times.
Some dude tried to sell New Zealand.
Yep. There's a lot of vehicles sold. There was a retired monorail from Disney. The wife of Tim Shaw, who was a British radio host,
fucking hell,
sold his Lotus Esprit sports car.
I think that's very good.
Buy it now, price of 50 pence.
Jesus. I think there's a lot of stuff in unusual eBay listings that we haven't really explored.
Yeah.
Such that I think that's more kind of because a lot of people know about the Emu War, you know?
It is true. A lot of people know about the Emu War.
I tend to say my vote goes to unusual eBay listings.
All right, cool. How about you, Riley?
Yeah, I think Emu War is funny, but I've known about that for a while.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that one.
Yeah.
Let's give it to unusual eBay listings.
Nice.
There we go.
We could do a whole season on this.
We could.
Like, there is so much there.
Well, there you go. Our first guest through to the next round. Gina Schwartz with unusual eBay listings.
Nice.
So,
and I still haven't cropped up.
Yep.
Yes. It is bracket number seven, however, meaning it's time for Riley to show up.
Yeah, baby.
You know what that means. You know it's bracket seven
play
time.
The Riley theme
time
Zane.
For Riley.
It's Riley and he's going to do an article. Cha-cha. Riley Cha-cha. And he's sexy boy.
Cha-cha.
This happens frequently.
Yep. Yeah. Bracket seven coming up the ridge with Rainbow Bridge versus Elagabalus.
It's Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we do an overview? I mean,
I love Elagabalus.
I getcha.
All right. So Rainbow Bridge is the first like not funny article we had. It was the first like
this is really fucking awesome, kick
in the nuts.
Yeah.
So basically, the Rainbow Bridge is a fictionalized. It's like a, I can't remember exactly where it comes from, but it's, yeah,
it's a way to, a psychologist came up with it to explain the concept of why their pets weren't around anymore and the concept of death to children.
And basically what happens is the way they've explained it is that, so the child, you know, the child will grow up, it'll lose a couple of pets and whatever. When it dies, it will go to this beautiful, pristine meadow with trees and like grass and hills and sunshine and everything like that. And every pet they've ever owned will be waiting for them there
to guide them to heaven.
At the base of this rainbow, I'm getting like goosebumps talking about this. At the base of this rainbow bridge, and they will, just like kick on and enjoy the afterlife
together.
Yeah, together. And Elagabalus was a shitty kid who was the emperor of Rome.
Yeah.
He was just some bastard.
As much as I love that shitty kid. He got absolutely done by the Romans.
I'm thinking Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah, we got to go Rainbow Bridge. Yeah. We talk about Rainbow Bridge way too much.
All right, Rainbow Bridge. And then that will be our next one, Bracket 8.
Bracket 8.
Which is... George P. Bedell.
Ooh. Yeah.
And The Curse of Tippecanoe.
Ah, okay.
Yes. So, Riley, I believe you did George.
I had George.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten what university he was from, but basically he was this a fake name, enrolled at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, that's right.
So he has supposedly received every graduate degree offered by Georgia Tech. He served in the military, gotten married, served on Mad Magazine's board of directors. Was Times Person of the Year in 2001. He led a poll for Times Person of the Year. He has never actually existed. It is a joke that has been going on since 1927.
And some dude just made him up because he got two forms for enrollment to Georgia Tech.
Like William Edgar Smith, who was Bachelor of Science in Ceramic Engineering in 1927, got a second enrollment form, was like, I'm gonna have a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
And it's going.
And he did two assessments every single time.
That's right.
That's insane.
Why?
And then
The Curse of Tippecanoe.
The Curse of Tippecanoe is the pattern that states that every president of the United States who is elected re-elected on a year that is evenly divisible by 20, essentially they are going to be assassinated. This has proven true for a staggering amount of presidents with this kind of fact. It's just a strange kind of almost coincidence curse that is on these American presidents.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well. Well, Curtis. I love George.
Yeah.
I love George P. Bedell. It's so funny that there's this fake guy who's been running around for almost a century.
And like, it's not just at the university either. Like
it's all over.
He was on flight crew in World War II. He was on just all these other places.
How about you, James?
Yes. No, George P. Bedell.
I'm assuming Riley.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're loving George.
Yeah. George.
All right.
He's a good mate of mine.
Well, right. That, why
farewell
we
to the curse of Tippecanoe.
My curse. It's gone. We lifted the curse.
Oh, it's
so
done.
First eight brackets.
Welcome,
what are our
America.
Winners, James?
Well, we've got hummus, the Icelandic Penis Museum. We've got the Wizard of New Zealand. We've got toilet paper. We've got the Hutt River. We've got unusual eBay listings. We have the Rainbow Bridge. And we have George P.
No!
Bedell.
Rainbow Bridge and George.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be Riley versus Riley.
Fucking hell.
That's going to be a hard one. Alrighty, so we're going to come back and we're going to do another eight after this. Mm-hmm. But
for now,
first of all, we're going to throw to one of our guests, Drew Buchanan, from the most recent guest, actually, and he's going to tell us what his favorite article from the entirety of season one was.
Hey, how's it going? Drew Buchanan here. I loved being a guest on Unfeature Articles, and just want to say to the boys, congratulations on your season finale, and everyone out there, go to the polling booths and vote for the one, the only, Echidna Dix by Liz Kehoe. You know what to do. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Drew, for those wise words.
He's a wisdomous boy, that lad.
A wisdomous boy.
A wisdomous boy.
So wisdomous.
And we're going to get back into it.
We are. This is bracket number 9 of our 16 first brackets.
I am thirsting.
Let's do it.
For a cursing. I don't know. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. For Kirsten Dunst.
For Kirsten Dunst.
Fuck.
Let's get into it. This is, okay, classic. We're going Rat King versus Adolf Sachs. Here we go.
All right, Rat King.
This early?
Yep.
Rat King was my second article, and it is still to date, I reckon, it's the most fucked article that happened on season one.
I don't want to think about it.
Okay, so pretty much a Rat King is a, Rat King is something that does happen in nature. It is documented. There are examples of it. There are some kept in museums, mummified and that kind of thing, where in grottos and sewers and just out and about, rats, whenever they, sometimes they'll enter like a feeding frenzy, or they're just, you know, that scene in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade where there's just all those rats down in that fucking cemetery. Yeah. There's got to be a couple rat kings down there because what will happen is their tails will become intertwined and are knotted in such a way that they are not able to escape. And so there's just a bunch of rats attached to each other and they will just move around and and they will often just die like that. The biggest rat king that has ever been found is 32 rats.
Yeah.
32 rats intertwined by their tails in one big massive thing.
That's like some Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's boss a level yeah, that's stuff. A Dark Souls
that's
boss.
Yeah.
Just, oh fuck.
And Riley, Adolf Sachs?
Adolf Sachs was the man who invented the saxophone. He didn't just do that. He had a really interesting childhood.
He almost died like 7,000 times.
He has more lives than your average house cat. Invented his own instrument at 15. Like, he entered two flutes and a clarinet into a competition.
He didn't just invent the saxophone either.
He invented, he's got the saxotromba, the sax horn, the sax tuba, the six piston trombone, and a sax horn.
So many different kind of instruments.
Yeah, and they're all real weird looking.
But he almost died so many times and we never would have had the saxophone. Yeah.
The smooth, jazzy sound of the saxophone.
This wonderful sax tromba.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
there is one that is just like a right angle.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bunch
it's
of-
It's ridiculous.
It's a sax trombone and it is just like a bunch of brass in a right angle.
It's like when you had an old like Windows computer and the screensaver was those tubes that go around the screen. It's like looks like
it's
that.
So he looked at that and was like, that's a good idea.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I'm writing down.
He looked forward through time.
Yes.
He was a visionary. Saw the Windows thing and was like, yeah.
He was a visionary guy.
Yeah, it was one of his near-death experiences.
All right, boys. Just off the bat, I'm going to go with Rat King. Just because it is the article that we talk about most, I think. That, and we'll get to it later, but Graham, the 52 hertz well.
Yeah.
But this, because it is so messed up, and it is like, I think it would be a crime if it didn't go further personally, because it is just so memorable and so disgustingly ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that is my little bit. What about you, James? What do you think?
Ah, boy. I mean, I love the idea of just like so many near-death experiences for this saxophone boy, but Rat King just evokes such a like an visceral.
It is the most. Yes, we react so hard to it.
How about you, Ross? I'm upset.
Would you have gone with Adolf?
Yeah.
Oh,
my boy
enough.
Adolf.
He's a good boy.
Like, he's a good boy.
Yeah, rats are fucked. But
like, it's a really good story. And like, because he had a lot of stuff later in life as well, not just in his childhood. He had a lot of near death experiences.
He kept almost dying.
Yeah.
Like he did it so much that like, the people in his neighborhood called him Little Adolf Little Ghost or something like that. Like Little Sax the Ghost. There we go.
Jesus.
His own mother was like, no, he won't live. Like, his own mother was like, he's a child condemned to misfortune. He's not going to make it that long.
Jesus Christ. Well, unfortunately, Mr. Adolf, we're going to have to say, better of the Adolfs, I think we can all agree.
He didn't make it that far.
Yeah, no, he is condemned to misfortune because he did not make it past the first round.
I'm sorry, mate.
Moving right along.
So, bracket 9, we have Rat King, and bracket 10.
All right, so we have the Chimpanzee War and Dusty the Klepto Kitty.
Dusty the Klepto Kitty. All right, Dusty the Klepto Kitty was a famous house cat that was notorious around his neighborhood and achieved widespread national and international fame for stealing so much shit, like hundreds of items. He would just go out to people's yards and people's homes, nick stuff, and bring them back to his owner's yard to the point where they had to take it to the tip and shit. He appeared on David Letterman. He achieved widespread notoriety. And I think he even opened up a building. Really? Like, he was like, he like, they were like, and to open this building when they cut the ribbon, oh, they were like, we've got funny. Dusty the Klepto-Kitty. Kabook. An animal shelter.
That's really good. And then the Gombe Chimpanzee War. This is what Sam Webb brought us on his episode. It was the 4-year war of Gombe, where essentially two communities of chimpanzees in a Gombe Stream National Park went to war with one another. And it was very scary.
Two tribes. Because, and Jane Goodall was like, who is a very, very famous chimpanzee researcher. And she studies the behavior and kind of thing. This kind of like broke her a little bit.
Yeah.
She was like, chimpanzees are so much better than humans. And then she witnessed this like absolutely bloodthirsty war with I think there was like one of the gorillas like smashed the head of its opponent and, the thing, and then drank its blood. Like what? She was like, this is fucked.
It's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Crazy. I actually reckon, the chimpanzee war, because I didn't know about it, and it's so horrifying. No,
it is insane. I've got to go to the chimpanzee war as well.
Agreed.
Sorry, Dusty, but you haven't stolen our hearts.
Hey!
Bad.
All right, very good.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
Honestly, not long. like 6 months. No. and we're moving on to bracket number 11.
That's the one. So we are, we've got As Slow As Possible versus Chief Mauser, a.k.a. Larry.
Oh.
Tell us about the Chief Mauser.
So the Chief Mauser, Larry, he is the Chief Mauser to the Prime Minister of Britain. He does good work. So basically what his occupation...
He's a cat.
He's a cat. Yeah.
Yeah, we should have said. We should
specify.
We'll get that out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He is a cat. His name is Larry. And he is, the Chief Mauser at... of the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom at 10 Downing Street. His job is basically to catch mice and things. Mm. That's his job. Like,
but there's been a bunch of different ones.
Oh yeah,
throughout.
So Larry is the current one. There have been so many. There's been Treasury Bill, Peter the Munich Mauser, Nelson Peter the Second, Peter the Third, Peter.
A lot of Peters.
Peter Peta.
Ah,
Wilberforce is my personal favorite name.
Yeah, it's Peter Peta.
Yeah,
so I love the idea that it was just someone from Peter the organization, just dressed as a cat, just like I'm undercover. I'm meow
from the inside. And then As Slow As Possible.
As Slow As Possible is a piece of music written by the podcast's favorite extremist composer, John Cage.
Mm-hmm.
And this one. It is a piece of music that is designed to be played as slow as possible by the performer. So it has no time signature, no set. The only thing it has is set. Obviously, in music, there are things like crotchets and semiquavers and that kind of thing. So you have certain beats, but that is all discernible by however slow you decide to play the song. So, and it is the subject of one of the longest-lasting performances yet undertaken. It is performed in a church in Burchardi in Halberstadt in Germany, and began in 2001 and is scheduled to have a duration of 639 years, ending in 2640.
Oh boy.
Which is just so insane.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool.
I think it's going to end a bit before then.
I don't know. Well, you know, I love this idea. Yeah. Well, yeah. Mate, the world could end. I love this idea. I love the ideas of time capsules.
Yeah.
And I love this idea of like a living kind of breathing time capsule that is just continuously happening.
Mm.
I think that's really cool. And like we can go on about how wanky like some of us think John Cage are till the cows come home. Because the dude is pretty wanky when it comes to writing.
Mm.
But I think this, in terms of like the actual performance that is going on for 600 years
it's pretty cool.
In Germany, I think that's real fucking sick.
Hmm. What do you guys think? What does your gut say?
Well, it was both our articles, so you tell us what you think.
Lead us out.
All right. I got to make this quick, but, it's a hard choice. I'm going to go with, boys.
Let's not forget about Larry's...
Hey, we said we'd be honorable.
Yeah.
We said we'd be honorable. We're not fighting for our own.
Nah, I think I'm going to go with As Slow As Possible.
Yeah. As Slow As Possible from James.
Yeah.
How about you, Riles?
I agree with Zane.
Whatever Zane says.
Yeah. No, Zane's shaking his head because I back Larry.
Of course he would.
As a cat man.
I don't know. Maybe
it was my article.
I don't. This is a tough choice for a first. Well,
let's not forget that Larry had that feud with Palmerston. From
You are such a dirty boy.
How is this dirty? That's in
possible.
The article. We're
it's as
to,
slow as possible.
We're allowed to fight for our articles. Isn't that the whole point of this?
True.
So as slow as possible.
True. You've got me there, Mr. McNamara.
How dare you try and, like, you know, present an argument to something. Just lay down.
All right. Moving on.
Did we decide on it's as slow as possible?
Well, you're voting for as slow as possible, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm not as big a cat boy as you are.
See, all right, I'm hearing a lot of from you guys.
It's a good article.
It's a good article.
I won't
I
say
the
it's
article,
not a good
but, like,
article.
As honestly, as slow as possible does win it by a Skerrick from me.
All right.
All right. Bloody fun. If this is what you want to have a terrible article, that's fine. Yeah, that's all right. That's fun. But me, just have shit taste. It's fine.
Whatever, man.
I knew this would tear us apart.
We're never going to see each other again after this.
Next up, we've got Trypophobia versus the Bone Wars.
Fuck this.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
fuck
dude.
This.
You asked for this. Where's all the Riley articles?
Yeah, man.
And then, here we go.
And then they're all fucking
now
clumped together.
Kill your darlings.
All right. So Trypophobia was a favorite amongst the podcast. It is a...
Favorite is an odd word. To choose
one word. After Rat King, this is my second most fucked.
So trypophobia is the fear and like sense of intense discomfort from a flat surface with lots of small holes in it. So it can be things like lotus seeds. You know, there's a bunch of plants that exhibit that. There's like a really common, well, not really common, but there's like a semi-common disease that's pets can get called a mango worm. And it's a parasite and it's absolutely
so
fucking disgusting.
Ridiculous.
I do not recommend looking that up. So that is trypophobia. And then Bone Wars was fucking hell.
I love the Bone Wars.
I love the Bone Wars.
Bone Wars was a couple of guys from way back when.
Who just discovered a bunch of, like, they were, like, really into, like, the important to discovering dinosaur bones.
Yeah,
they just fucking hated each other, didn't they?
Yeah, well, they started off as colleagues. Like, they started off as colleagues finding, like, all
like,
in this
such a story.
Someone, Nebraska and Wyoming in Colorado.
I think we said this when we were doing it. Someone needs to email Lin-Manuel Miranda and say, this is your fucking next hip hop
music. Yeah, this is the next one.
Because, like, this is a better story than Aaron Burr and Hamilton.
It started in about mid-1870s, finished in like 1892.
Yeah.
They started working together as colleagues, excavating all these fields and everything like that. And then eventually they started like playing tricks on the other and like trying to actively sabotage the other's discoveries and stuff. And they ended up in, it was such a well-published, like it was front page news.
Yeah, everyone was sick of their shit and like had nothing
everyone
to do with
them. Everyone was so fucking over them.
And they ended up like destitute, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
Because they spent so much money trying to... What do we reckon?
Because of that, just that simple story, I fucking love the Bone Wars.
I love Bone Wars.
I'm going for the Bone Wars.
Bone Wars.
And I fucking hate trypophobia.
Yeah,
it makes
anything
me really
that's not trypophobia, honestly. Yeah.
Fuck you, trypophobia.
All right,
get
this,
out of my...
Look. Yeah, how can Rat King get the vote because it was fucked, but trypophobia's like, no, it's fucked, get it away.
Okay, because I would prefer
because
to look at a Rat King as opposed to...
Did Rat King.
No, because...
Because you did Rat King.
I'm still voting for one of yours, you wanker. I would prefer to look at a Rat King over trypophobia. That is my official opinion.
Same.
Big dirty Rat King. Put that shit on my head before I have to look at like a fucking mango worm. Oh,
all right.
God.
I know what I'm getting you for your birthday.
No. Next up, have Speed 2 Cruise Control versus Volcano Surfing.
Oh.
Ooh.
So Speed 2 Cruise Control is the sequel to the Keanu Reeves film Speed that does not have Keanu Reeves in it. And also spent a lot of budget in trying to crash a fake ship into a fake village. And there was a hurricane that destroyed the fake village. And so they had to spend more budget recreating fake village to then again destroy
crash the
fake village. And then Volcano Surfing was brought to us by...
Riley.
It's your boy.
Riley.
So Volcano Surfing is... does what it says on the tin. Like, you've seen sand surfing and everything like that. Like, you go up a sand dune and you get a piece of cardboard or something like that and you slide down it. You do that on a volcano. And because it's like a super extreme sport, you got to wear like full-on protective gear because, you know, there's very rough volcanic ash. It's not like sand. It will actually like shred you.
Yeah.
And some people even do it on active volcanoes.
Yeah.
Like, volcanoes are so active, they erupt like once a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes
there was one that was like once a day, wasn't
it? Yeah. It is the Mount Yasur, I believe. Mount Yasur in Vanuatu.
Jeez.
So, yeah, like you've got to dodge like big fucking rocks and fucking lava.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Now, this is a hard one for me, boys.
Mm.
Because on first glance, I'd say Speed 2 Cruise Control, not necessarily an unfeatured article, is it?
Right.
However, the tale about the village and the fact that they had to rebuild that really tickles me. But then again,
I agree. That's
volcano surfing funny. Is just so like, it's like, did Extreme Ironing win?
Oh, Extreme Ironing did.
It's like that, except imagine if they did ironing while doing this. Yeah. Now that's like Extreme Ironing 2.0.
Yeah.
That's double extreme.
Extreme ironing.
I feel like Riley's already mad at me and he feels like I'm not voting for him on purpose. But I am going to have to go with Speed 2 Cruise Control.
No, I actually agree. Just the fucking... That village?
Yeah.
For that is, film
for
as that, well.
Exactly. Yeah,
for Speed 2
sequel to Speed.
So much like, effort.
Such a bad film.
Dumbest thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So that's going to take Speed
2
Cruise Control.
We're not sorry, Yonderbot, because you've finally gotten the recognition you deserve.
Yeah.
But we're sorry to Volcano Surfing because you're not going through.
You've made it to the second round of our bracket on this mediocre podcast. Congratulations, sir.
This is all he ever wanted. He can finally go home to mum.
Yeah. All right, so next up we've got Grey Goo.
What number is this?
This is 14.
14.
Grey Goo versus Flash Fiction.
Oh.
GG versus FF. So Grey Goo
was me.
Was Riley.
Yep.
And Flash Fiction was me, wasn't
that's right.
it? Yeah. Oh, that's right. Okay. I couldn't remember what it was for a second. Flash Fiction is pretty much a form of writing, which is telling a story in as little words as possible. And there's a lot of different forms, but the most famous form was attributed to Ernest Hemingway, but wasn't necessarily, isn't confirmed to have been written by him.
Oh, right.
And that story goes thusly. Baby shoes, for sale, never worn.
Mm.
And that's the end of the story.
That's the whole story.
It's a bit like, and I mean, so like the whole idea is that like you can kind of get a sense of everything that's kind of like, there's so many questions and so much like, possibility, like, because you kind of already know what's happened there. And so it's like, just by saying this little thing, you get this whole big story underneath. But yeah, that's Flash Fiction.
All right. And so Grey Goo is a hypothetical end of the world scenario involving molecular nanotechnology in which out of control self-replicating robots consume all the biomass on Earth while building more of themselves. So basically, the theory is that such... Replicators floating in a bottle of chemicals, making copies of themselves. The first replicator assembles a copy in 1,000 seconds. The two replicators then build two more in the next 1,000 seconds. And then the four build another four, eight build eight. At the end of 10 hours, at the end of 10 hours, there are 68 billion.
Yeah.
In less than a day, they would weigh a ton. In less than 2 days, they would outweigh the Earth. In another 4 hours, they would exceed the mass of the sun and all the planets combined.
Yikes.
So essentially, it's a very like hectic kind of...
It was on an episode of Futurama.
It was,
twice,
yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
James.
I think, both very good articles. I think that like, I don't know, just conceptually, like the idea of Grey Goo, this thing of like technology going so far as to actually like just in an instant destroy us all because...
Yeah, I read that. I'm also going to vote for Grey Goo.
Yeah, okay.
He'll take it. He'll cop it.
Very good.
I do like the Flash Fiction stuff.
Flash
that'll be
good.
Very interesting.
But I think also the baby shoes.
That is quite well known.
It's quite well known.
Yeah.
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 And there's also like, there's a couple of ways you can spin that. Like maybe they got pink ones and they had a boy.
Maybe
they had twins.
Stop fucking heteronormative. This world. Am I right, boys? Let's get down into the nitty gritty of this. Let's talk about this now on this podcast because this is the forum.
So next up we've got, ooh, okay. We've got the 52 Hertz Whale versus Sex and Space.
Oh.
Curtis v. Curtis.
I can tell you right now which one I'm voting for, but.
All right.
Sex in Space.
You're joking. Okay. All right.
Give us the overview.
Yeah.
52 Hertz
Remind
Whale
me.
is the world's loneliest whale. And it is a whale that is out there in the ocean somewhere that scientists can hear because whales, emit a frequency that can be detected all over the world.
Yeah.
With technology.
technology.
You know, with the technology. You know, it's, you know, the technology.
You've heard of this.
You've heard, you know what I mean. And it is, yeah, it's the world's loneliest whale because most whales emit a frequency of around 35 hertz, but this one emits a frequency of 52, which means that it is like, it is, yeah, it's just like if I was speaking a language that nobody else in the world knew,
yeah,
and I could just not communicate with anyone.
Aww.
It is just this whale that is just out there that is just,
it's so sad.
So it's, yeah, it's on its own. It can't communicate with any other whales. And yeah, scientists don't know why. They're trying to find it, to figure out why, but yeah. And we named him Graham.
And we did name him Graham.
Because we called him Graham.
Because we wanted him to know, we want to send positive vibes, because we want him to know he's got a friend out there.
Justice for Graham.
Yeah. Even though, it is thought to be a female.
Graham's a female.
But we read that bit after we named, after we named him Graham. But again, heteronormative, bad. You can be named Graham if you want to.
Yeah.
Now,
Sex in space.
Sex in Space is it was a long-winded article that I built up weirdly for a couple of episodes.
Yeah, a lot of prelude.
And it was just talking about the kind of complexities that we will face when we try to copulate in space. Yeah, eventually, when the human race potentially moves forward into the stars and starts to colonize different planets and that kind of thing. There was something that was made called a two suit.
Oh yes,
by this author. And someone who was a leading a thinker on sex in space, and it was a suit that you could lock two people into, and they could lock themselves together so that they could generate the freak, because of Newton's third law of motion. It's kind of hard in zero gravity environment to generate the kind of movement and the friction that you need to actually have sex.
Newton's such a cock block.
The ultimate cock.
What a tease.
Yeah. So what are we thinking?
Graham.
Yeah, I think it's Graham.
It's got to be Graham.
I'll go Graham.
Graham is the friend of the podcast.
Yeah.
He is
our first official fan.
He's our first. We love him. We love him so much.
Her.
We love them.
We love them. Cool. And then moving on to our last of the first kind of section of this bracket.
Yep.
We have Ruth Melville versus
the Time Lady.
The Time Lady versus Corey Worthington.
Oh,
the boy. All right, Riley, buddy, you're up.
All right. So Ruth Melville, let me pull her up.
Ruth Melville? It's Ruth Belville, isn't it?
Belville?
Yeah.
Melville.
You've written Melville.
Have I? Oopsie, yeah. Sorry.
No, you're right.
All right. So Ruth Belville, also known as the Greenwich Time Lady, was a businesswoman from London. She, her mother, Maria Elizabeth, and her father, John Henry, sold people the time. So back then, when watches stopped because you had to set them down, so the mechanism would stop moving. They didn't run on batteries back then. So they would stop, like, overnight when you would take them off or when you were sleeping or something.
So they'd have to reset them and wind them, and they'd need to know the official time.
Yeah, and so... Yeah, John Henry Belville, who was the original time man, would get the time from the Greenwich Observatory and would go around to people and sell them the time for money.
Money.
And then Ruth inherited it when he passed away.
Absolutely. And Corey Worthington.
A lot of competition.
And Corey Worthington.
Corey Worthington.
Australia's favourite dingus.
Yes, everyone's favourite party boy. He does not officially have a Wikipedia article that we did, and then it got taken down. So I did some investigating and found the original article. And
is this your article?
Yes.
I thought Corey was your article, mate.
No.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, you were just the one who reminded me who Corey Worthington was, because I forgot. I completely forgot.
But yeah, no, he's Australia's favorite party boy. And he caused a big ruckus because he started a party when his parents were away. And he did a big Project X. And and we all laughed, and he wouldn't take off his sunglasses, and it was very funny.
All right,
what do we think?
I hate Corey Worthington. I'm going with Ruth.
I got to go with Ruth.
All right, I do also have to go with Ruth.
Yeah, it's also the less. We do live in Australia, so maybe we know it's more of in the cultural mindset over here. But I would say Ruth is the less featured article.
I think so. I agree. Cool. Well, that takes us to the end of the first section of our massive finale episode. Why don't we flick to a guest to have them weigh in?
Yeah, I think we're going to hear from Gina Schwartz.
Let's do it.
Hi, guys. It's Gina Schwartz. I think my favorite unfeatured articles article was either Rainbow Bridge or Extreme Ironing. They're very early on in the series, and I love them both.
Thank you, Gina, for that. That was very lovely, very kind.
Enlightened.
Yes. Well, that brings us to the end of that first section, those first 16 pairs, leaving us with, shall I do an overview?
Let's have a recap.
Let's have a recap. We have up next Hummus versus the Icelandic Penis Museum, the Wizard of New Zealand versus toilet paper,
ooh,
the Principality of the Hutt River versus unusual eBay listings, the Rainbow Bridge versus George B. P. Burdell.
I'm sorry, Riley.
Rat King versus the Gombe Chimpanzee War.
Oh, no.
As Slow as Possible versus Bone Wars. Speed 2 Cruise Control versus Grey Goo. And the 52 Hertz Whale versus Ruth Belville.
Oh,
that's some big matchups.
There's some big boy matchups in that one.
Very, very tasty.
And because it is such a big boy matchup,
oh, yeah.
We've decided that we're going to make this a two-parter.
Let's just make it a two-parter.
We're just going to make
it
because we've already gone for like 50 minutes
exactly.
now.
So, we don't
if they can
take
make The Hobbit into three films, we can make this into two.
So we're going to come back next week, same time. Mm-hmm. So lucky you get another episode.
Yes. And so with these future kind of pairings, we're going to mix it up a bit. We're going to make it fun and exciting. Can't wait to show you guys how we're going to tackle this massive
rest of this,
undertaking.
Yeah. We've had to get through so much stuff. We've kind of just been really quickly firing off what we think, real quick overviews, but we're going to go a little bit deeper into what really makes these articles sing for us.
Yes.
And why we want to fight for them so hard.
And in the end, of course, we will reach our final contender, our number one.
I'm so excited.
Of the 16 that we have, I think they are like our best.
They're definitely the strongest ones.
And so it's very exciting to see which one's going to take it
out. This is going to get it heated, boys.
Yep.
I think we need to agree that we're all still going to love each other at the end of this.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bit of white line fever.
Yeah. But until next week, when you can find it, we can hear all of that. You can find us on our socials.
Yes.
We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
James Kehoe is now in charge of all of those, and I'm not, which means that they're a lot more active than they used to be.
This was not a consensual decision, but
I pretty much just went, James, you're fucking doing it now.
It's fine.
And you can listen to... if you haven't listened to all of the episodes, maybe now would be a great time to go and do that. So go back and listen to all our old episodes on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or any other good podcatcher of your choice.
Yep.
Our theme song, it's Purgatory and Friends.
Yes, it is. It's Purgatory and Friends by Kevin MacLeod. We are lovingly hosted on the That's Not Canon Productions Network. Thank you to Zane C. Weber, our glorious podcast
our righteous podcast father
righteous podcast father
thank you Zay.
Thank you to all the guests who submitted in their little pieces.
We'll have the rest of them in our next episode.
You can hear more of those, but that will do it for us until next time. You guys don't have anything to plug, do you? Any upcoming shows or anything?
Oh,
like
I
that?
Don't think so.
No.
1 Mile's back.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we took an unexpected break because we got too busy, but the podcast is back now.
Go check that out. Until next time, browse responsibly.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.